This morning, if you will open to me to Jeremiah chapter 37, is where we're going to start this morning. Jeremiah chapter 37. We're going to think about the final king of Judah, the southern kingdom, Zedekiah, the king who refused to listen to God. What's interesting as you think about the kings that are mentioned in the scriptures in the Old Testament, usually their reign could all be summed up in a single statement. They're known for something, or they're known for failing or for doing what was right in a certain situation. What we're going to notice today about Zedekiah is what he is known for in Scripture is this statement before us this morning. He is the king who refused to listen to God. He's a king who, had he chosen to listen to God, he would go down in the history books of Judah and in the scriptures as a very different kind of king. His story would end very differently if he had just chosen to listen to God. To give us a little bit of background, though, about what's going on in the political scene of this nation, the king of Babylon is the one who put Zedekiah on the throne of Judah. Nebuchadnezzar installed him as the ruler of Judah. And Zedekiah, what he does is he listens to his pro-Egyptian advisors. They want to get out from under the thumb of Babylon. They don't really want to have to answer to Babylon anymore. And they think Egypt is the way. That's the political alliance that we need to establish. And with their help, we can kind of stand on our own once again. And so he listens to them, and he goes to Egypt for protection from Babylon. Babylon finds out, and Babylon comes calling, and Babylon knows Zedekiah's treachery. And where we begin in Jeremiah chapter 37, this is what's going on in the background. Babylon is coming, and they know what Zedekiah has done. And so as we turn to Jeremiah chapter 37, this chapter emphasizes that Zedekiah is listening to the wrong people. The people he should be listening to are not the ones that he's actually listening to. The first 10 verses, Zedekiah is warned that while Babylon has left Jerusalem momentarily, they will be coming back. In Jeremiah chapter 37, verse 2, sort of sums up, here's the summary of Zedekiah and his reign. Neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land gave heed to the words of the Lord which he spoke by the prophet Jeremiah. They did not listen to God. They listened to the wrong people. And what happens is they come to Jeremiah in verse 3, and they ask him to pray to the Lord for us because Babylon has arrived. And remember, Babylon knows what Zedekiah and his counselors have done. They have turned against Babylon. Things don't look so well, especially for the leaders of Judah. And they come to Jeremiah and say, pray to the Lord for us. Jeremiah then tells them in verse 7, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, thus you shall say to the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of me, behold Pharaoh's army, that alliance you have made with Egypt, which has come up to help you, will return to Egypt, to their own land, and the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, they will come back and fight against this city and take it and burn it with fire. Thus says the Lord, do not deceive yourselves, saying the Chaldeans will surely depart from us, for they will not depart. They will come back, and they will not leave until they have finished the job. For though you had defeated the whole army of the Chaldeans who fight against you, and there remained only wounded men among them, they would rise up, every man in his tent, and burn the city with fire. God tells Jeremiah to tell Zedekiah, Babylon, they're going to be run off from Jerusalem for a brief time to deal with this threat of the Egyptian army. But make no mistake, they are coming back. and nothing is going to drive them off from Jerusalem until they finish the job. They are coming back. Babylon is coming. And so, you look at verse 11, and it tells us that the Chaldeans, the Babylonians indeed, they left the siege of Jerusalem for fear of Pharaoh's army. The Egyptian army had come out of Egypt, and Babylon was afraid of meeting them there, so they went off and they're going to deal with the Egyptian army. Well, during this time, things sort of go back to, I guess, as normal as they could. And Jeremiah goes to the land of Benjamin to claim his property there. They've all been in Jerusalem for safekeeping and the stronghold. Now that the army has left, they can all kind of go back home, go back to their lands, maybe see what's left. What did the Babylonian army destroy everything I have, or maybe there's something left on my property? And so Jeremiah is going to do this. And as he's going out, he's accused, verse 13, of defecting to the Chaldeans, to the Babylonians. You're turning against us and you're going to go side with them. Jeremiah says, false, verse 14, I am not going over to the Babylonians. But they didn't listen to Jeremiah. They're very angry with him. They beat him. They put him in prison. And Jeremiah remains in that prison cell for many days, the end of verse 16. And then it seems that he's there until what he said would come to pass happens. Babylon is now on their... They've dealt with the Egyptian army, and Babylon is now coming back to Jerusalem. And now that Babylon is on its way back, now Zedekiah wants to know again what the word of the Lord is. And so, verse 17, he sends to Jeremiah. He takes him out secretly, and he says, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah says, there is. You shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. Jeremiah also told him, he says, basically, what have I done to you and to your servants that you have put me in prison? He says in verse 19, where now are your prophets who prophesied to you, saying, the king of Babylon will not come against you or against this land? He tells Zedekiah, you are listening to the wrong people. Where are all of the prophets who told you that Babylon's not coming back? Here they come. You know he has gotten reports that Babylon is returning. You know they're returning. Zedekiah, you know what I told you from the Lord is true. But you have been listening to the wrong people. We're going to get the idea as we go through the rest of this section. Zedekiah was a very weak... Some that I had been reading said that Zedekiah is a weak, spineless, wishy-washy ruler. His advisors, he sort of bent to whatever they wanted to do. He didn't really take a stand for what he should have done. And Jeremiah's telling him, Zedekiah, you are listening to the wrong folks. God has told you Babylon is coming back. They will not depart from Jerusalem. You will be handed over to them. You're listening to the wrong ones. You should be listening to God. You move over into Jeremiah chapter 38. Zedekiah gets Jeremiah out of prison, and Jeremiah pleads with the king in this chapter to turn to God, to listen to what God has said. In the first 13 verses, Jeremiah is once again accused of being a traitor because he's been saying in verse 2, he who remains in this city shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence, but he who goes over to the Chaldeans, to the Babylonians, shall live. His life shall be as a prize to him, and he shall live. Thus says the Lord, this city will surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. So as Babylon is around the city, as they are fighting against Babylon and they're enduring this siege, Jeremiah is going around saying, your life will be saved if you leave this city and go over into the Babylonian camp. And so what Jeremiah is accused of is the princes say to the king, please let this man be put to death. Kill him, for thus he weakens the hands of the men of war who stay in the city. And the hands of all the people by saying such things. He is demoralizing our troops and the people in the city by saying they need to save their lives by going to the Babylonians. He doesn't seek the welfare of this people, but he seeks their harm. And Zedekiah tells them, look, he's in your hand. The king can do nothing against you. Again, this is a weak ruler. He knows Jeremiah is the Lord's prophet, but in public, he's not willing to stand up and do what's right. And so they take Jeremiah and they cast him into this pit that has, it used to be this well, but there's no water in there, but it's still muddy. And Jeremiah is thrown into the pit. He sinks into the mud and he's left there to die. But a foreigner, of all people, comes to the king, a man named Ebed-Melech, and he tells the king what's happened to Jeremiah. They've thrown him in this pit, and if we don't do something, Jeremiah is going to surely die. And the king gives the order to Ebed-Melech to take 30 men to go pull Jeremiah out, save his life. And so Ebed-Melech does this. He brings him out. He saves his life, protects Jeremiah. And this man, because of his willingness to do what was right, here at the end of our lesson this morning, his name, though he is an Ethiopian and not an Israelite, his name is going to come up yet again. And so now, Jeremiah has been brought back. And once again, Zedekiah secretly, in private, wants to know what's the word of the Lord. What does God have to say about our situation? And Jeremiah says, if I declare it to you, this is verse 15, will you not surely put me to death? And if I give you advice, you will not listen to me. Jeremiah's been around Zedekiah enough to know, I don't think I can trust you to protect me when I tell you what God has said. And I sure can't trust you to listen to what God has told me to tell you. Zedekiah says, as the Lord lives, I will not put you to death and I won't let anyone else do it. Notice beginning in verse 17, Jeremiah says to Zedekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if you surely surrender to the king of Babylon's princes, then your soul shall live. This city shall not be burned with fire, and you and your house shall live. But if you do not surrender to the king of Babylon's princes, then this city shall be given into the hand of the Chaldeans. They will burn it with fire. You shall not escape from their hand. God's word to Zedekiah is, Zedekiah, if you surrender, if you leave this city and walk into Nebuchadnezzar's camp, you will live. Your house, your family will live. Nebuchadnezzar will not burn this city with fire. You will spare the homes and the lives of many people if you will surrender yourself to the Babylonians. And God will protect you. But if you won't, many lives will be lost. This city will be burned because you refuse to listen to God's word. And Zedekiah says in verse 19, I am afraid of the Jews who have defected to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand and they abuse me. Zedekiah is afraid if he surrenders himself to the Babylonians. He's afraid of what torture awaits him if he surrenders himself to the Babylonians. And he tells Jeremiah, I'm afraid of doing that, for what may lie ahead for me if I do that. And Jeremiah tells him, they shall not deliver you. Please obey the voice of the Lord which I speak to you, so it shall be well with you and your soul shall live. Jeremiah pleads with him, you will be protected. Please listen to what God has said. But if you refuse to surrender, here's what God has shown me will happen. All the women who are left in the king of the Judah's house shall be surrendered to the king of Babylon's princes. These women shall say, your close friends have set upon you and prevailed against you. Your feet have sunk in the mire and they have turned away again. So they shall surrender all your wives and children to the Chaldeans. You shall not escape from their hand, but shall be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and you shall cause this city to be burned with fire. Doing a little research on what he says, the women will say in verse 22. The idea is, what Jeremiah's telling him, is Zedekiah, these advisors that you have, these counselors that you have, these princes that help you in ruling the kingdom, if you do not turn yourself over to Babylon, they will turn you over to Babylon, and the things they have to say about you are going to paint you in a very bad light in front of Nebuchadnezzar. They are not your friends. They will betray you, is what he's telling Zedekiah. Remember, Zedekiah is a weak ruler. In many ways, he has allowed these princes to sort of push him around, and he's sort of bound to whatever they wanted to do policy-wise. What's going to happen is if they turn him over, if Nebuchadnezzar captures him, if he refuses to listen to God, they are going to paint Zedekiah not as the king that they've been pushing around to do what they want. They're going to paint Zedekiah as the ringleader in all of this. That's basically what Jeremiah tells him. Your counselors and advisors are going to betray you, and they're going to paint you as the villain in front of the king if you refuse to listen to God. So Zedekiah tells Jeremiah, don't let anybody know about this, because he knows if the princes, my counselors, they're going to wonder what we talked about. They're going to wonder if I'm thinking about giving myself up to the Babylonians, especially if I've been talking to you with the kind of preaching you've been doing. And so Jeremiah keeps it quiet, and he urges Zedekiah, please listen to God. And what we find out in the next chapter, the first 10 verses, we find out the consequences of not listening to God. What you find out is that Zedekiah did not listen to what God had said. When there was a breach in the wall, Zedekiah tried to run, tried to flee through it. The Babylonian army caught him, and verse 6, they brought him before Nebuchadnezzar. He kills Zedekiah's sons before his eyes, and then the king of Babylon also killed all the nobles of Judah. He put out Zedekiah's eyes, bound him with bronze fetters, and carried him off to Babylon, where he spent the rest of his life in Babylonian captivity, in prison, bound in irons, blinded. The last thing he ever saw was the execution of his own children. He did not listen to what God said. Jeremiah pleaded with him, if you listen to God, this will not happen. But if you refuse to listen to God, this is what's coming. Nebuchadnezzar goes on to burn everything down, breaks down the walls of Jerusalem. Everything God warned Zedekiah would happen is exactly what happened. But then at the end of chapter 39, we see the blessings that come about from listening to God. Jeremiah is allowed to go free. No harm comes to him. And God sends word to Jeremiah in verse 16, and he says, go speak to Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, the one who saved Jeremiah's life, and tell him, he says, I will deliver you in that day, says the Lord, when destruction comes upon this city, and you shall not be given into the hand of the men of whom you are afraid. For I will surely deliver you, and you shall not fall by the sword. But your life shall be as a prize to you, because you have put your trust in me, says the Lord. This foreigner, this Ethiopian, was saved, was delivered by God, because he trusted God. Because he listened to what God had said and trusted in the Lord. Whereas Zedekiah is known in the Old Testament as the king who refused to listen to God. Jerusalem was burned. It was destroyed in a way that it didn't have to be because he refused to listen to God's word. Now we think about our study this morning, and we think about us. Romans chapter 5. Verse 6 through verse 9 tells us that the wrath of God comes upon sin. Destruction, in a sense, is coming. The wrath of God, the justice of God, comes upon all sin. But he has mercifully provided a way for us to be spared. Paul says in Romans 5, beginning in verse 6, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. If you will listen to God, trust in the one he has provided for your sin, you will be spared." It's the same message in a similar way, anyway, that God gave to Zedekiah. If you will trust me, if you will listen to what I'm telling you, you will be spared. If not, you will face the consequences. What God tells us here is that if we will trust in the one, in the way that he has provided through his son Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross for our sins, the one who freely gave himself for us, though he was innocent and we are guilty, if you will turn to him and trust him and listen to what God has said about the one who has died in our place, you will be spared from that day of wrath that will come upon the sin that has been committed. The question then for us is the same question that was presented to Zedekiah. Will we listen to God and trust him? Or will we, for various reasons — Zedekiah, it seems his reason for not listening to God was he was afraid. He was afraid of what might happen to him. He was afraid of what might come upon him if he listened to what God said. Sometimes it may be that individuals don't listen to what God has said because they think now's not a good time in their life. They don't want to give up what they have going on in their life, and they know if they did, if they listened to God and obeyed him, they might have to give something up. Sometimes it's just simply people don't realize the importance of this decision. But God calls us through his word to realize how important this decision is. Will we listen to him, or will we refuse to listen to him? This morning, I'm reminded of those in Acts chapter 2 who heard that first gospel sermon by Peter. They were convicted of their sin. Peter told them, "You have crucified the one who is the Lord and the Christ." And upon realizing what they had done, upon realizing who Jesus is, how he had been the one who came and died for them, and that God had raised him from the dead, they asked Peter, "What shall we do?" And Peter told them to repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. About 3,000 did, and the Lord added them to his church. They listened to God and submitted themselves to God, and God spared them, delivered them, saved them. But over in Acts 7, there's another group that hears a similar sermon. But instead of submitting to what God has said, they push back. They refuse to listen to God. They stone Stephen to death, and they are not delivered. Those who continued to reject and resist the message of God, they were not saved. And so this morning, what will it be for you? If you're not a child of God, if you're not a Christian, we urge you to obey the gospel of Christ, to believe him to be the Son of God, repent of your sins, and be buried in baptism for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are a Christian, but you've stopped listening to God, you've gone back to living in sin, you've gone back to your old way of life, we urge you to come back to God, make things right. Zedekiah had made many wrong choices in his life, and even at the very end, he still presented an opportunity to do what's right. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, won't you come together as we stand and as we sing?